Welcome to I Am the Cute One, the most chaotic school dance in the podcast universe.
Let's spike the punch, grind to Usher, and talk about our favorite topic, ourselves.
Hello, I am Donnie, and I am the cute one.
And I am Chelsea, and I am the cute one.
And it is Donnie Appreciation Month.
Happy birthday, Donnie.
Thank you.
We're so happy to be here with you today.
All my. I'll leave my bank account information in the show notes if anyone would like to make a deposit. I am turning 38 years old, so I only will accept money in increments of 38.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because I don't know if this is a bad thing. I had no fucking clue how old you were. I was like, this man could be turning 40. I know he's not turning 35 because I'm turning 35, but any number between 35 and 40.
Well, I'm also not turning 40 because I would be making a bigger deal about it. But you know what? I won't blame you because I too forget how old I am.
You don't look a day over 27.
Oh, well, that's very kind. I believe you. I look like a 27-year-old Megan Fox. Chelsea, I'm just going to say it. I do not trust you with these pieces of art. We have already talked about this, but the cuties need to know what's going on. So all month long, all of the movies for Donnie Appreciation Month, I will be the moderator. There will not be the back and forth that the cuties are used to because I just can't trust them in your hands.
That's fine. But I have to say, we are starting out with a bang. You did promise me that this would be the best Donnie Appreciation Month yet. I didn't know what you meant by it. I was skeptical. I was timid. I was afraid. But this first film, Red Eye, I'm cautiously optimistic about Donnie Appreciation Month. I really feel like you have turned a corner in your 89th year on this earth. I'm fearful still because we also know you do have cult leader tendencies, and I'm not sure if you're luring me into a false sense of security before you pull the rug out from under me, but I really liked this movie. It was my first time seeing it, and I enjoyed myself.
I want to point out, I said this will be your best Donnie Appreciation Month ever. This is not the best one ever. This is not my best one ever, but in terms of the movies I picked, I think you will have a relatively easy month.
Okay.
This is not a false sense of security.
Yeah. Again, I don't believe you. I'll check in with the cuties at the end of this month. But one out of four, we are at 25% success rate thus far.
That's a good start. And you know what, cuties? This month, we will be covering Red Eye, Little Shop of Horrors, Troop Beverly Hills, and Sucker Punch. So if you think any of those four movies Chelsea will hate, feel free to slide in her DMs and warn her now. Okay. But you're wrong, because she will like all of them. So let's jump right into Red Eye. This movie came out August 19th, 2005. It was a Friday. We Belong Together by Mariah Carey was the number one song. And at the box office, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, this movie, Four Brothers, Wedding Crashers, and The Skeleton Key were top five movies.
Okay. And that explains why I've never seen this movie, because Wedding Crashers was my entire personality from the year 2005 to about 2009. So perfect. That's why I didn't get around to seeing this
movie. Rachel McAdams was in that too, right?
Yeah. This is a huge time period for her, because in 2004 it was also The Notebook
and Mean Girls.
Like, she was just blowing up. And I have to say, this type of movie, and I'm sure we'll get to it, but the fact that it's kind of like a closed set, like they're not leaving anywhere, you have to be a good actor to be able to pull this off, and she is incredible.
She is. And Roger Ebert agrees with you. I'll just drop that spoiler alert there. But I almost did. And I know you said I can just make Donnie Appreciation Month happen as it goes. I don't need to announce to you or the cuties what's happening. But when I read these top five and I saw The Skeleton Key, I felt like I left my firstborn out in the snow. How dare me not include The Skeleton Key? Caroline, it will be here next year.
Okay, I've never seen that one either.
Okay, maybe I'll just whip it out in April then.
Okay.
We don't need to wait till next year.
And we don't need the play-by-play. Once again, Donnie, you really do act like if you don't get these four movies in during Donnie Appreciation Month, you act like we don't cover movies the other 11 months of the year, where you pick 50% of the movies we cover. So certainly there are some chances for The Skeleton Key.
Even though the movies don't have feelings, I feel like if I don't include them in my favorites list and they're just thrown out a Friday in May, they'll feel left out.
Well, our shows come out on Monday, but I do understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
I'll have you know it's Donnie Appreciation Month, which means Chalchala is just mere months away. So I have started thinking about mm-hmm. getting my list together for June.
Wonderful. However, we don't need to talk about your birthday and my birthday month. I would never propose at your wedding. So let's keep that same energy. Okay?
Let me get up off my knee. How dare I?
So let's go back to August 19th, 2005. On TV, The Proud Family aired its last episode. And on Big Brother Season 6, Kesar was evicted for the second time this very day, with Janelle winning HOH and changing the course of my reality television history as we know it. When I saw that happened on August 19th, the same day Red Eye came out, I was out of the closet for a long time. But I think this was the day I, like, really became gay.
You were already out of the closet, but this was the day that you said, I think it's true. Confirmed.
This is not a phase, even though people at church and my parents told me so. Janelle and Rachel McAdams had other things to say about it. So if today's episode makes you laugh, scream, or come out of the closet, even though you already had, do us a favor and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Leave us a 5-star review that says, I'm gay, like Ellen on the front of that magazine cover. Or leave us a 5-star review and wish Donnie a happy birthday, or, you know, some well wishes for me, some condolences.
Leave Chelsea an escape plan in your 5-star review. A 5-star review is the easiest way to help us grow our audience and this community, and let Chelsea find a way to leave me forever. So, on that note, I do have a little background information and trivia. It was written by Carl Ellsworth, who wrote Disturbia, one episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and 2 episodes of Xena Warrior Princess. Huh. It was directed by Wes Craven, who, cuties, and maybe not cuties too, everyone should know him from Scream 1-4, Nightmare on Elm Street, and this was shocking to me, I didn't know this, Music of the Heart.
What is that?
NSYNC made a song for the soundtrack, but I think it stars Meryl Streep. She's like a music teacher in a high school. Probably an inner city one, if I know anything about my movies.
I was probably still watching Wedding Crashers. I think that one slipped by.
The budget was $26 million, and it made $96 million. It also won the Teen Choice Award for Choice Thriller. Hmm. I was not a teen anymore, but I would have voted if I was. And Roger Ebert gave it 3 stars out of 4 and said, watching Red Eye function so smoothly, doing exactly what it intended to do, I was reminded of Howard Hawks' definition of a good movie. 3 great scenes, no bad ones. Red Eye scores 2 great ones and 1 bad one. Not bad.
That shady bitch. He's not going to give a compliment without also just stabbing you in the back with a knife. What do you think the bad scene was?
I was just going to ask you that. It has to be the one with the missile through the window, yeah. Right? That's the only thing I can think
that
of.
That was a little wonky.
I mean, not for me. I'm just trying to put myself in Roger's.
Guess he took it to the grave.
Unless he has trauma about coffee being spilled on your titties.
Or getting jabbed in the throat with a pen. Oh, I almost vomited.
He had it coming.
Look at me. A musical to celebrate your birthday.
I'm
shocked.
He
may have had it coming, but I still wanted to barf.
No, see? I'm the opposite. I cannot handle gore at all unless it's like the bad guy. If she scalped him right there in the plane seat and then waved his hairline around, I would have been fine. But, like, if we even hint at the idea of wanting to do that to a good person, I can't. We only have 1 tagline this week. So, your options are to have sex in an airplane bathroom, save your father from death, or jam a pen in its throat.
Okay.
And the tagline is, fear takes flight.
I'm going to save my dad from death just on principle. I'd like to do that if that's on the table. But yeah, I don't want to fuck that one in a bathroom, certainly.
No. I would shove a pen in its throat. This tagline had it coming. Fear takes flight.
I was assuming it was like fight, flight, or freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Fear takes flight.
Got it.
But I guess if you have to explain it so much, then just...
Yeah. What if they listed that underneath? This is what we mean, you guys.
You know, like the 4 Fs? Fight, flight, freeze, or fawn?
What's fawn?
Oh, that's a new one. So we have the standard fight, flight, or freeze. But fawn is when you act in alignment with your attacker. It's really common. That's actually would be my response. So you're trying to protect yourself by doing the right thing that the attacker or the person that's putting you in danger wants you to do. Mm. So that's why, like, a lot of kids, they're, I mean, this is getting dark, but, like, in abusive households, they're responses to Fawn, which is like, I'm going to do the things that my parents want me to do, or I'm going to go out of my way to make sure I'm not messing up. I'm going to get perfect grades. So that way, hopefully it will stop the abuse.
Oh, God.
Fear takes Fawn.
Now, question, what is the difference in like a bank heist situation? If they say, everybody freeze, would freezing be fawning?
It would be a double whammy, two birds in a stone.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I would tell them that. Just so you know, this is what I'm doing.
I'm not freezing. I'm fawning. I'm freezing because I'm fawning. Nice.
Okay, let's keep it moving. Uh-huh. The trivia is Zach Braff, Jon Favreau, and Adrian Brody were considered for the role of Jackson by the studio, but Cillian Murphy wanted the role so badly that he took a plane from England to Hollywood 2 days before his wedding so he could have lunch with Wes Craven.
Wow.
I know. I should have looked up if they're still married, because there's no way.
Yeah, she's like doing last minute wedding errands with her mom, getting in fights in the middle of Kroger, and he's off having lunch with Wes Craven.
I'd be pissed. And now Cillian says that, like, this is not a good movie. So all of that to to shit on it in the end.
Yeah, we need to look up if he's still married to see if he still thinks it's a good marriage.
Also, Wes Craven said in interviews that Cillian's eyes won him over and that he and Rachel were his first choices for the movie.
He loved those silly Cillian eyes.
Cillian. Also, the script was originally written for Sean Penn and Robin Wright, but Wes Craven was like, no, we need to use some young people. Thank you. We would not be covering it in March, or maybe at all, if that's who it was. Save that for Forrest Gump. Now, what character, that's, what's her face?
Jenny.
Yeah, I have PTSD from that. What character, if any, do you identify as?
I am the little girl going on her first solo flight. I'm very perceptive, and I do usually pick up on what's going on around me. Is it because I'm, you know, as the kids say, an empath, perhaps? Is it because I'm a nosy bitch? More likely, yes. But I would also be just kicking out that duffel bag.
God bless her. I'm that redhead, big-eyed lady from Glee that works at the hotel desk. Ugh. Because I do, and we'll get more into it when we actually get into the movie, but I have worked customer service my whole life, so I do let people talk to me however they want. And I panic when it comes to work stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm fully traumatized by Glee. I want you to know that... Glee is my Grinch. I saw this woman and I got a pit in my stomach. I almost started fawning. I almost started breaking out in a cappella because I saw that big-eyed lady and I was just waiting for Mr. Chu to come out and start singing that thong song.
Luckily for you, he did not.
It is the best Donnie Appreciation Month for me so far because not a Mr. Chu in sight. Like what you're hearing? Head to patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne for more.
There you can find uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes.
That's patreon.com/IamTheCuteOne. See you there.
So now we're going to give the clock to one of our favorite cuties who's been begging to come on. And we said, please wait for Donnie Appreciation Month. So take it away.
Hello, darling. It's me, restaurant maven and patron saint of misunderstood men everywhere, Lisa Vanderpump. I'm here to give a 1-minute synopsis of the movie Red Eye, but first I want everyone to go around and say one thing you like about Tom Sandoval.
I can't believe that Tom Sandoval had Raquel over when Ariana was around.
Not now, Ken. Go back to your charging station. It's not your birthday. So the only hanky-panky you'll be getting is our swans. Get it? Because our swans are named Hanky Panky, and also I find sex with my husband repulsive. Anyway... This movie is about a sneaky little succubus who finds herself sitting next to a handsome little devil on a plane. Sure, he threatens the life of her father and blackmails her into leveraging her place of employment to complete a hit on a politician, but you all need to forgive him. Think of his mental health. Anyways, she ends up defeating poor, widow, innocent Cillian Murphy, who was probably really sorry. And why did she take off work anyway? She deserved it. Happy birthday, Donnie. I heard you're a big fan of my show. Vanderpump Rules. Hashtag Scandaval.
Wow, thank you. A birthday treat.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
I've been waiting for that one. So... let's get into the movie. Our movie opens with wallets being stolen from Rachel McAdams' childhood home and large cases being secretly transported under the guise of fish exports. But we'll get into that later.
Okay, I am so sorry.
Or we'll get into it now.
Yeah, right now. I know we had a conversation offline about how, you know, it was a cute little bit for a minute to cut each other off one sentence in, and maybe we can lay that bit to rest. It's not a bit for me. I really must say what I need to say right this second.
Okay.
Because when that wallet was stolen and then the bad guy was like flipping through and it was like all of Rachel McAdams' senior portraits, have I ever told you about how Pepe's wallet was full of pictures and he would always show waitstaff his pride and joy?
Was it you?
I wish. No, Pepe in his wallet, I think I have talked about his Elvis driver's license he used to flash, but poor waitstaff, my God. I mean, Pepe was a great tipper and they earned every cent. He would call them over and be like, oh, do you want to see my pride and joy? Here are my grandchildren. Here's my wife. Here's me on vacation. And here's my pride and joy. And it was just pictures of Pride and Joy, the laundry detergent that he had in his wallet. And it was like a little bit he did.
Oh, wow. I wouldn't hate that.
Again, he was a good tipper. So
no, but even, I mean, I'll just take a break for a second. Whether he showed pride and joy or not, a tip is important, cuties. If you're a bad tipper, you can stop listening now. Leave us a 5-star review, but stop listening because I don't want your support. However, if the wait staff has already went down the rabbit hole this far, like if someone said, do you want to see my grandchildren? I would say either yes or no. If you have time for it, yes. And who cares if the punchline is or isn't laundry detergent at the end? And if you don't have time for it, then say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll be back in a second. I have tables waiting. And then you don't even get to the laundry detergent.
Sure.
I don't think Pepe had to tip well in response to this. They got dinner and a show from this man, Chelsea.
Well, they certainly got a show, and probably that combined with, like, you know, when they would bring napkins and he would say, like, you've seen us eat, and like all of those other things. I often did forget that this was their first time seeing the performance. For me and my family, who had seen the song and dance, the word by word tight 10 he was putting on over, you know, 200 times at that point, it does get a little stale. But he did often get a genuine chuckle from that pride and joy bit.
Because it's funny, and because your family saw his often, but I feel like so many diners at restaurants, especially white people, always do the same like bits. And I don't know how, especially pre-internet, I don't know how all white people know to do the same thing at restaurants, but they all do it. So I'm sure this was a welcome change.
Yeah, another one that he used to do, another part of his routine, his stand-up set, was when the waiter would ask, like, do you want some water? He said, oh no, I'm trying to quit.
See? That is fresh. You never hear that. This is what the world needs. So yeah, everything I said before I was interrupted happens. And then poor Cynthia, the big-eyed lady, is having a rough night at work at the Lux Atlantic Hotel when two charm demons of a couple are having issues with their reservation. Luckily, she has her manager, Lisa Reiser, on speed dial, who walks her through a quick fix. After all, there are no guests who are assholes, just guests with special needs. Now, I know I just called these people charm demons, but I go back and forth on them because they are assholes 100%, but are they in the wrong? Like, they are frequent guests of the hotel and booked their room 6 months ago, and then when they show up, they don't have a room? Like, they're not wrong to be upset.
Yeah, I think this is completely reasonable to be mad about. It wasn't like they were complaining because their wine wasn't like the exact right temperature or something.
Right.
I feel like this was reasonable, but just based on their overall demeanor, you knew this was going to be about anything.
I can see that. But when this is about what it is about now, I don't think we can like put that into the atmosphere. Like, oh, they would complain if they didn't have a pen on their desk in their room. Well, we don't know because they don't have a fucking room, big eye lady. So I don't know if we should be calling them assholes when you didn't give them a room they had 6 months ago because you don't know the new computer system.
Well, right now I feel like we're reenacting this scene and perhaps I'm behind the service desk. But I will say, not to give away the end of the movie, but they are still complaining when a literal bomb has just been deployed in the hotel. So I feel like the proof is in the pudding there. But certainly, yes, by just the scene alone, are they assholes? Time will tell.
Okay, you're right, you're right. Now, listen to this, Chelsea. I brought a little trivia for you. The asshole woman is not an actress. She was the head of marketing at DreamWorks. And when Wes Craven went to DreamWorks to have a meeting about the movie, he met her and said, oh, I have a role you'd be perfect for.
That's so brutal, but good for her for taking it.
Yeah.
She's like a speaking line in a Wes Craven movie. Yeah.
Top tier. Really quick, I'm going to put a pause in what the outline says to ask you.
I love when you do this. Go ahead.
Last week, I couldn't stop staring at myself because I wore a backwards hat and a skinny scarf and green, which makes my eyes pop. So this week, I was like, I'm just going to wear a plain old gray sweatshirt. But I keep looking now because I feel like a hot dad. You know, maybe you didn't have this, but when I would go to my friend's house, I'd be like, I want to fuck your dad. I feel like I am that dad in this sweatshirt. Maybe it's me pushing 40. Maybe it is just the gray sweatshirt itself, but like, I look good.
I know that you just moments ago said that Rachel McAdams and Janelle from Big Brother confirmed that you were in fact gay. Is there a type of sexuality where you're only attracted to yourself? Because I think you're teetering. You're like those little birds that see their reflection and start to posture in their little cages at Petco. Like, I feel like you would fuck yourself if you could.
I don't know. Maybe.
You do look very handsome. Are you fishing for a compliment? I'll give it to you. I'll let
no,
you
I wasn't even fishing. I was just giving myself a compliment.
You're out on a date with yourself. You're just giving your date a nice compliment and looking really sexy tonight.
Yeah, and you're our waitress, so you can either confirm or deny. But either way, I'm my pride and joy. Cuties, you know I cannot see a movie without pretending I'm in it, and now it's your turn. Have you ever tried to use the Force when no one's looking or thought about what superheroes would win in a fight? Then you'll want to stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, and visit Sideshow.com. Your eyes do not deceive you. They have a life-size, impeccably detailed replica of the child from Star Wars The Mandalorian.
Now, I don't mean to brag, but Sideshow did send me the child. I call him Baby Yoda. I have since learned that is not his name, but he is my son now, so I will be continuing to call him as such. And we have been playing dress up, having photo shoots, and just having a grand old time. But if that one doesn't speak to you, how about a movie-accurate statue of Christopher Reeve as Superman?
They got that too.
But just wait until you see the incredibly lifelike figures of Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
We are thrilled to have Sideshow sponsoring our podcast today. They offer a wide selection of premium figures, statues, and fine art from the worlds of Star Wars, DC, Marvel, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, and so much more.
These limited edition, handcrafted, officially licensed collectibles bring pop culture's biggest icons to life in your home.
And here is the best part. You can get an exclusive $50 off your first order of $200 or more. It's a great opportunity for new customers to dive into the world of high-quality collectibles. Or you can gift it to that super geek in your life.
Perhaps that person in your life that you know would cringe when they hear that I've been letting my daughter sleep with my Baby Yoda. And again, that I refuse to stop calling it Baby Yoda.
Plus, shopping at Sideshow earns you 5% back in Sideshow rewards, meaning for every $100 spent, you get $5 back in rewards that can be used on future purchases. While geeking out is its own reward, your collection goes farther with Sideshow. So, what are you waiting for? Visit Sideshow.com, promo code CUTEONE right now, and get ready to let your geek side show.
Oh, that's clever. Sideshow. Like Sideshow.com? I get it.
I think I was made for customer service positions because, like I said, I do let people talk to me however, and like it doesn't bother me.
And you're not afraid to drag a bitch by the ponytail down the stairs if they try to get away with something.
Exactly. I'm very much like an employee that corporate needs to talk to and says, like, if you see them stealing a Stanley Cup, let them, because they might have a knife and slit your throat. when I'm at work, I don't think about my own safety and like my own emotions. I am employed. It is my job to protect these Stanley Cups. And if you want to call me a fat load because of it, then call me that. Like, that's what I'm made for. I'm a Target employee. Whereas I have other coworkers who are like, oh, she just called me a fat load and then cry about it all day. Then, baby, you need to work at a desk.
I think there could be a middle ground there between being like, yes, call me a fat load. Thank you so much. Don't you dare steal that Stanley Cup, and like letting it break you. I think you need to spend some time on the anti-work subreddit. Uh-huh. Maybe on your 38th year, you can explore that avenue, because that is troubling to hear. You can tell me if this is a surprise or not. I'm great in customer service because I'm a problem solver. I think on my feet. I also have, we share this trait. I have the ability of, if I say something with a smile on my face, people are disarmed, mm-hmm. and it probably won't sink in until much later. Like, you call me a fat load and I'm like, takes one to know one. Did you want this wrapped? Do you want me to put this in a bag for you?
Yeah. No, that's a skill to have. The people need it. However, I don't make a good manager, though, because if people are mean, especially to my employees, I don't like to reward them. Like, the customer is not always right. I will tell you to leave in a second. And corporate doesn't like that.
Do you know that the customer is always right is only half of the phrase?
No.
It's been taken because of capitalism to basically excuse the vile behavior of customers, but it's the customer is always right in terms of taste. So the line is meant to be like, uh-huh. let them buy the ugly hat. They want to buy the ugly hat. But it's been shortened to mean like, no, if they want to take a shit on your chest, let them and say thank you and then wipe it up later.
Well, now I'm glad you told me that, because if I ever go back into retail, they always love to throw that around. Not even the place itself, the customer. The customer is always right. I was like, well, in terms of taste, that's why you're wearing that fucking ugly hat and two left shoes.
But you say it with a smile on your face, yeah. So they don't know what hit them.
Back to these customers. I really am obsessed with them. Do you express yourself if you don't get what you asked for? Like, I don't do it at restaurants normally. You could bring me out a turd on a plate and I'd be like, looks good. But at a hotel, I have done it twice.
I usually do not. It's something I'm actively working on.
The two times I did it at a hotel, one was when I was at Disney World for my wedding. My wedding was the next day. So we were at the park and I said, I'm going to skip the fireworks, go back to the hotel so I can start to sleep and stuff.
Yeah.
So me and my husband and then another couple took the shuttle bus back to the hotel. But I don't know if it was a new driver or if they were drunk or what, but they went off property for a half hour. First of all, I thought I was going to be killed. They went off property for a half hour. And then we were like, this is not even Disney World anymore, lady. Like, we just passed the Carrabba's.
Not a Carrabba's.
That's when I knew Disney would never. So then she turned around and we finally got back to the hotel. But like at this point,
you should have just stayed for the fireworks.
Yeah, we didn't see the fireworks and
you had to see Carrabba's.
Exactly. And our guests that stayed for the fireworks were getting back to the hotel before we were. So I was like so pissed. So I went to the hotel desk and said, not to drop this bomb, but I am a bride getting married tomorrow. Yeah. And this is what happened. So our room got upgraded. We got free fast passes for the rest of the trip, and we got some money back.
That's amazing.
Thank you. That taught me to complain at hotels all the time.
No wonder you're defending those assholes with their room upgrades.
So that's that. The other time I called about the hotel, I called Expedia or whatever first and said, I have an issue with this hotel room. It's dirty. I asked for a room change. They said I couldn't. I don't want to stay at the hotel anymore. So because I didn't do it through the front desk, when I went to the front desk at the end to like give my key back, because Expedia said, that's fine. She said, why did you tell Expedia we were beefy? Maybe she meant to say beefing. But, like, I'd never even said that. And I was like, I did not call you beefy. So, in the second scene of the movie,
sure.
Lisa is just trying to get out of Dallas and make her red-eye flight home to Miami from her grandmother's funeral. But when her flight is delayed, she cheers up an old woman by getting her a Dr. Phil book, shares a moment with an 11-year-old flying for the first time, quiets down an irate customer with the help of another passenger, Jack Ripner, and gets an iced coffee spilled on her titties, forcing her to change in the bathroom and revealing a knife scar across her chest. Lisa and Jack kill some time before their flight, bonding over stories about Lisa's grandmother fucking and their embarrassing names at the airport bar, filling up on Lisa's signature drink, a Bay Breeze. Do you have pre-flight traditions? Like, do you go to the bar?
Yeah. So my brother has coined the term TLT, which I think I've talked about, terminal leisure time, which is when you just get to the airport extra early and you count it as part of your vacation. So I very much am the mindset of once I get through security, I am on vacation. I will have a $20 vodka soda. I will go to Hudson News. I will get my magazine.
I always go to the airport 2 hours ahead of time, like you're supposed to. Uh-huh. I know people who travel a lot for work and stuff, and they cut it close because they're like, I don't want to waste all this time in an airport.
Yeah, I don't travel enough to feel that way. No. I take 2 flights a year, so I'm going to make the most of it.
Also, Bay Breezes were my signature drink for like 10 years because
10
of this movie.
10 years?
Only at weddings, though. It's my signature wedding drink.
That's still fucking foul. When she ordered a Bay Breeze, Dr. Bald and I, at the same time, because Dr. Bald watched this movie with me, at the same time, we both went, ugh.
What don't you like about a Bay Breeze?
It's literally all the worst parts of alcohol. It's like fruity and sweet and I can like feel the frontal lobe headache already just thinking about it.
My signature drink did change. And now my wedding drink is either an Amaretto Sour or a 7 and 7.
Are you 92 years old? What the fuck?
What's wrong with that?
I mean, so much, but we don't have time to get into it today. My brother and Sam had a spicy margarita drink at their wedding. It was so good, and I got so drunk. Mm. I was very hungover the next day. Because you can't have more than, like, 3 margaritas.
Oh. Last weekend, I had 7, and I didn't wake up hungover the next day.
Oh, my God.
Just to go to the movies, Chelsea.
Do we need to take this conversation offline, Bobby? You doing okay over there, bud?
Well, I saw 2 movies.
Were you at the Alamo Draft House?
Yeah. So we saw a movie first. Mm-hmm. I had 2 drinks there. Then we killed time in between. I had 2 drinks there. And a shot. 2 drinks at the second movie. And then 1 to recap the day with my friend.
That sounds like a lovely day. I'm impressed. I love margaritas. And I will say the Alamo Draft House, that is my go-to. I will get their margaritas because they are good. Yeah. So but good. 7, good heavens. That's what you meant when you said a 7 and 7. It's just 7 margaritas and then 7 more.
So finally, the plane boards, and as fate would have
we
it.
We are 45 minutes into this recording. And
she just
got
on the plane. Yeah. Uh-huh. So finally, the plane boards, and as fate would have it, Lisa takes her seat next to her new friend, Cillian Murphy.
Cillian Murphy. I guess we're just doubling down there. I will say, take notes, Emma Watson. This is a good American accent. And I did have to cut it for time, but on the Patreon footage from last week, you gave that description of that TikTok video that kind of explained why certain people have good American accents and bad. So old silly Cillian must be a poor.
He looks like he could be. So after Jack helps calm Lisa's nerves as the flight takes off, it's revealed that he was not, in fact, making small talk to get her mind off a bumpy takeoff, but instead keeping the focus on her father because he needs her help in assassinating Charles Keefe, the Secretary of Homeland Security, by switching his room in her hotel, and if she doesn't, her father will be killed. Now, I made you watch the trailer before we covered this movie because I think it is brilliant. And for cuties who have never seen the trailer, they tease it as a romantic comedy, like them bumping into each other at the airport and then meeting for drinks and all this stuff. And then like 40 seconds into the trailer, we find out what it really is. However, I was never tricked because Cillian Murphy is not attractive, so I knew it wasn't a romantic comedy.
I guess this would be a good time for me to remind you that I feel like Silly Cillian looks just like my brother. In this movie, he doesn't look as much like Dylan as in the past. And cuties, once again, capitalism, there is a price point. Go back to our Home for the Holidays episode, Day After Tomorrow episode. The Patreon footage is there if you want to take notes and compare. But in this movie, they put a little bit of like rouge on his lips because the thing about my brother and me is that we have flesh colored lips. Our lips are the same color as our face, which is why I always wear lipstick because I look ill if I don't.
I think your brother is more attractive than Cillian Murphy. They still have like an Irish waif thing about them. Like if there was a movie about like living in Ireland by the sea, I think that Cillian Murphy would be who it's about in real life. And Dylan, because he's more attractive, would play him in a movie.
Okay. I don't know if I'm rooting for you to find my brother attractive or not find him.
No,
attractive.
I'm not going to try to sleep with him, but yeah, if we're just comparing,
yeah,
like how much is that doggy in the window? Your brother is the one I would buy, and Cillian like can be taken to the ASPCA in a week if he's not bought.
In the arms of an angel. Okay, that's fair. Thank you.
Yeah.
For
you're
getting
welcome.
My brother off the streets. Who rescued who, am I right? But I knew in this movie that Cillian was bad. Number one, because I had seen the twist in that trailer, which thank God they showed the twist. I would have been pissed if they just made it a straight up romantic comedy in the trailer and never let you know what you were actually signing up for. I would have been so pissed. But in the movie, I knew he was a bad guy. The moment he set his watch to the new time zone they were going to, that is serial killer behavior. To manually adjust your watch for time zones, unless you're moving there, just do the math. Just do the mental math in your head.
I didn't notice it, and I've seen this movie plenty of times.
As soon as I saw that, I said, oh, yeah, you better run for the hills, baby.
Oh, wow. That's why I will be killed in life.
Ask, believe, receive.
Yeah, and then you can turn this into a true crime podcast where you try to solve it. Lisa Reiser did not become manager of Lux Atlantic for nothing, and she uses her ability to be quick on her feet to outsmart Jack with notes begging for help to the old woman in her Dr. Phil book and pretending to use the dead phone to make the call. But when Jack realizes her tricks, it's a headbutt for her and the old woman, leading to temporary naps. I can come up with a plan like nobody's business, and I'm a good liar, but I am not quick on my feet, so I think I truly would be fucked in this situation. Like, me, Keith, and my dad would all be dead by the end of this
You
flight.
Would somehow fuck it up so badly that, like, everybody dies. I have to say, I am good on my feet, but I don't know if I would be able to ever recover from waking up to my seatmate reading Dr. Phil out loud. That's chilling. That's horrifying. This is also now a good time for me to remind the cuties that Dr. Phil has lost his medical license. He is not a doctor. He is a fraud.
Wow.
I hate him. Dr. Phil is like top three on my forever nemesis list.
Oh, wow. So don't bring him on as a guest is what you're saying.
I hate him.
In college, there used to be like those soundboard websites where you could like pick certain things people said from people. And I used to prank call people with the Dr. Phil soundboard. Like, hello, I want you to become a lesbian. So if you ever got that call, it was me. When she comes to, she tries to talk Jack out of the plan because Keith is a decent man. But Jack tells her bad things happen to good people. People like Keith and people like loners like her. Her life revolves around her job, the occasional cocktail at the corner cafe, the classic late night movies, and the scrambled eggs at 3 a.m. And the most haunting part about this for me is I was thinking, like, what would someone tell me next to me on an airplane if they've been watching me for a month?
Yeah.
Like, oh, sitting around on your sofa with no pants on, farting in your sleep.
Well, I mean, I think if you get on Big Brother, you'll be able to really
hear
that.
Oh, my God. Every time I, like, think twice about being on Big Brother, that is why. The live feed stuff. Not even being canceled, but, like, ew, his sinuses drain into his throat for 2 hours every morning. Like, nobody wants to watch
Especially that. Once you start the sniff drugs.
Oh, no, that'll help me out.
Okay. No, you had this prompt on our outline. You had, what would be the main takeaways if someone stalked you for a month? And once again, I was watching this movie with Dr. Bald. I thought, oh, it would be so cute to ask him this question about me to hear what he had to say.
Oh, God.
It almost caused a fight. He said, literally did not miss a fucking beat. Like, he had been waiting for this question. I wrote it down word for word. He said, well, they'd probably say, wow, look at this girl. She orders the same meal every day. Easily the worst screen time of anyone I've ever met. You're like a 15-year-old girl. You're a screenager. And you're either sitting or you're cleaning. I said, Jesus Christ. Were you just waiting to unload on me like that? My goodness.
That came out quick.
Came out quick. He might as well have just told me I was a fat load. And the customer was always right. Like, damn.
Lisa is running out of options. So she goes to the bathroom to come up with a plan. Using soap on the mirror, she writes that Jack has a bomb. Unfortunately, Jack is waiting at the door for her, so he joins her and erases the message, slams her against the wall, and lets the flight attendants think they joined the Mile High Club, making Lisa untrustworthy for the rest of the flight. Now, the only reason I was so much in detail about this is because I have some trivia. in the scene in that airplane bathroom, Cillian Murphy missed where he was supposed to throw Rachel McAdams. So the first time they recorded it, he slammed her against the wall for real and she got knocked unconscious. So then when she came to and she was like, I think I'm ready to film again.
He was reading Dr. Phil to her out loud.
Yeah. That's why he, if you watch closely, he's holding the back of her head when he does it because he doesn't want to do it again.
That's
so he
crazy.
Like slams her against his hand. A gentleman.
Yeah, I suppose.
So when the captain puts on the fasten seatbelt sign, Lisa is stuck in the seat and has no choice. She makes the call and switches the room. But Jack refuses to pull the watch on Lisa's father until Keith and his family are killed. You did like this movie, Chelsea, but that's the only thing I was worried about, is that it all being in one place would be too monotonous for you. Do you normally like movies like that? Like Cellular when he's in the phone booth, or like Disturbia when he's in the house the whole time?
I've never seen either of those movies. I don't think that I've really been familiar with this genre. I feel like the closest I've gotten recently is the one that I always want to call Cabin in the Woods, but it's the M. Night Shyamalan movie, Knock at the Cabin, mm-hmm. where they're stuck at the cabin the whole time.
I didn't see that.
I don't think that I'm really familiar with this genre, but I didn't mind this. I feel like you have to be really good at acting to be able to pull this off, though. Like, if these were two stinkers and mm-hmm. they could not act, I would have lost interest very quickly, but they were pulling me back in.
Okay. Now, Phone Booth, we will watch in 2024. We won't even wait till Donnie Appreciation Month. Colin Farrell takes a call in a phone booth, and then there's a shooter with a little red boop on him that says, like, if you hang up this phone, I will kill you.
So it's literally just him in a phone booth?
Uh-huh. Brilliant.
Okay. Well, that'll be the test, I suppose.
Oh, God. I used to act it out all the time. Okay, so the plane lands. Cuties, the episode's not landing anytime soon, but the plane does land. And it's time for Lisa to save the Keefs and her father. So after telling Jack she got the scar on her breast after being attacked in a parking lot at knife point and that she refuses to let anything like that happen again, she shoves a pen in his trachea and escapes, making it to the tram within seconds of him catching up to her. I don't know how you could hate that part, Jill.
Ugh. It's just disgusting.
No, it's beautiful. And then he has to wear the flight attendant scarf.
Yeah, I love that the kerchief is really a medical marvel. That's the solution to everything. And then he has to talk like he's one of the people in the no smoking commercial. He's like, hello, no cigarettes, not even once. I don't know why my man with a hole in his trach sounds like Tom Sandoval, but here
Erica Jane is what it sounded like.
It's expensive to be me.
Oh my God. Now, I do know karma is a bitch, Chelsea, so I shouldn't admit this publicly. I should just hold it
Jesus
close
Christ,
to my chest.
Please. There's still time. There's still time to stop talking.
My favorite part of living in New York City is when I'm on the subway and then the doors shut just as someone is about to come in. It makes me laugh every time, especially if they get mad.
Do you laugh in their face?
No, like it's not like me, the door, and them. Because did you ever see that Robert Pattinson movie?
About 9/11?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank God you saw it, because I would have just told you the twist.
Right, I know. I had to beat you to the twist. Sorry for any cuties that haven't seen that Robert Pattinson film.
But the movie starts with that. Someone robs them. They get on the train, the doors shut, and then the train doors open for God knows what reason, and the people that already robbed them decide to shoot the mom then. That's how the movie starts, and I've been afraid ever since. Like, rob me or kill my mom, please. You don't have to do both. Anyway, back to this.
I love that you started that being like, karma's a bitch and I shouldn't say what I'm about to say. And then just somehow we got on the ladder and went a few rungs lower into the depths of hell.
I'm always there. The funniest was when this guy...
Let's climb a little lower. Get the shovel out. Here we go.
The funniest... I don't know if he was late for work or just had a bad day, but the door's shut and he said, let me in, you fucking bitches! And then the train just drove away. Oh, God. There ain't nothing better. Okay. Lisa steals the car and a dying cell phone, and after a quick phone call to the hotel to get Keith out of there just in time before the rocket launcher hits the roof.
Okay, a couple things. Number one, this woman must not have charged this Nokia phone since 2004. for it to die. Because those brick phones, they could withstand the test of time. I think my Nokia is probably still turned on in some landfill somewhere. Still hasn't run out of juice from 20 years ago. But also this rocket launcher. I feel like we could have had a better plan. If we had enough resources to like have these people out on a fishing boat and pull up a giant bazooka, certainly we could have just maybe like infiltrated the hotel room. And maybe we don't have to change their room. Maybe we could just plant a bomb in the crystal that has to be room temperature. Like, certainly there could be other ways of killing this family. And I'm not here to micromanage people's murder, but I feel like we really pulled out a lot of unnecessary
I don't know, tricks. Chelsea. That security team did a full wipe down of the room before. They would have noticed a bomb in the crystal.
I guess.
Now, what they should have done was had sex with that big-eyed lady and put a tracking device in her with a bomb in it. Then, when she went up to check on them, then you blow her up. Huh. Maybe she could have got the, what do you call that thing? Where they put devices in us during COVID?
The vaccine tracker?
Yeah, maybe she should have got the vaccine so that they put the bomb in her then.
Thanks, Obama.
Oh, God. Okay, let's land this plane.
We need Sully.
Who's... Oh, I'm familiar. Tom Hanks. So after she saves Keith, she heads to her father's house, where she slams the car into the assassin and through the front of the house. With him out of the way, the day is saved until Jack shows up. And so a Home Alone-inspired chase begins. This is the best scene in the movie. This better have been one of the two great ones that Roger Ebert was talking about. Because I screamed the first time I saw this when she closes that bedroom door and he's behind it.
I screamed. Oh. And then when she grabbed that field hockey stick, Donnie, I knew. From the moment we saw that field hockey picture in that first scene, I knew the field hockey stick was going to come around. And I said it out loud. As soon as she got in the house, I said, she's going to grab that field hockey stick. And Dr. Bald hadn't seen it for a while. And he was like, I can't remember. And I said, no, I don't need you to confirm. That was me saying she's going to grab that field hockey stick. Because this is the thing. And I'm sorry for cuties out there who played field hockey. Maybe I'm alienating a certain demographic. But you can't say what I'm about to say isn't true. Here is the thing about field hockey players. They are either the least athletic people you've ever met in your life, or they are the most aggressively athletic people you've ever seen. Like competitive, scary, scary people. And I knew this was a girl who still knew where that stick was and she still knew how to use it.
That's very true. And you were correct. I remember when I was in high school, there was like some school that had a boys field hockey team and I wanted it to come to my school so badly so that I could play. I thought I finally found my sport because as you said, you don't need to be athletic to play. Mm-hmm. But then I found out they would not be wearing skirts. So then I had no interest. Because field hockey uniforms are very Catholic school coded. And because of that, I've always wanted to play.
They are. And to be clear, field hockey is a really hard sport to play. You are like choosing scoliosis every day. You're deciding, hey, I will never have a straight spine
God
again.
God bless them. I will say about this house scene, I'll do some constructive criticism. I thought she was a little too try hard.
To keep herself alive.
No, like trying to be cute and like sassy and quirky. Like you're not Buffy. You don't need a one-liner every time you hit him. Like she came into the kitchen with that vase and was like, hey. And then he looked and she threw it at him and ran. Like no, if you didn't say hi, you could have slit his back open from taint to tip.
And we know that that doesn't gross you out because he had it coming.
He did, though, Chelsea. But, yeah, she really bothered
me. Based him like a Thanksgiving turkey and shut your mouth, Rachel.
That was my only issue with the whole movie.
Okay.
But after she and her father both shoot him, Jack is out of the picture and the day is saved. And those hotel guests are still assholes. So Lisa tells them to fill out a comment card and shove it up their asses. Now that is a whole other side to Lisa that we have not seen before.
So stupid. And I love that Keith is like, all right, toodle-oodles, I'm off to commit some war crimes that I'm totally going to justify because of this harrowing event. Truly. Love you like a sister.
I'll talk to you later, Lise. Like, what? If I was the wife, I would have asked for a divorce on the spot. You brought me into this, and now you're just chilly-willy with Lisa? I don't think so. I need to go to Margaritaville while you handle this.
Yeah, I love that it's not the war crimes that would be the cause for the divorce. It would be the use of the nickname Lise. Like, that's it.
War crimes is the job he signed up for. But now you're bringing me into your games? I don't think so. And I do need to send a retraction. I said Margaritaville earlier, but if there's a Senor Frogs in the immediate area, that is where I would need to go. That's it. We finally done it.
We sure did. So final thoughts. If we were to bring this movie to present day, who would you cast or what would the plot to a sequel be?
I tried numerous times to make a sequel where, like, she wrote a book about this and then on the book tour something bigger happens. But I couldn't think about what would be bigger than this. So instead, we just went with a tried and true remake. Shot for shot, I want nothing changed. Even the CGI in the missile scene. Except I want it made with Zendaya and Gregory from Abbott Elementary.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you.
Well done. Yeah, I did a remake, but it's probably very similar to the versions that you left on the cutting room floor. Not my best work. I was just thinking that she's moved jobs. She's now working her own type of security. Like, Keith has brought her on. Like, she's doing something. She's on vacation. She's off duty. And she sees that there's going to be another hijacking of a plane. And she's the only one who can stop it. Basically, I just want Rachel McAdams on my screen in any way, shape, or form.
Unless it's a time travel movie. She needs to quit.
Well, I'm fine with that as long as people keep their pants on. Okay, so final thoughts. What about this movie aged well and what aged like Blockbuster?
I think it all aged well, except for airplane phones aren't used anymore, so that'll change everything, and the CGI of that missile. But besides that, truly, it was perfect.
I think also the fashion, her fashion was very 2005. That V-neck tank top where, like, somehow the under part of the boob, it never quite hits under the boob to provide cleavage. It's like, we want it to hit right where the nipple is just for the least flattering shape possible. Let's make Rachel McAdams somehow look not put together and a little bit dowdy.
Yeah.
But I feel like in terms of the acting, amazing. Yeah. The cast really held up. And I do feel like with some slight changes, you could do a remake where it's just like, oh, the Wi-Fi goes out because they're in a storm. Like, the premise still very much still works.
Absolutely. Top tier.
I love this movie. We're starting off Donnie Appreciation Month with a big old bang.
It all started with
a big bang. Bang!
Save that for June. Donnie Appreciation Month will continue next week when we cover Little Shop of Horrors. Chelsea, what do you know about that movie?
Little Shop of Horrors. I've never seen it. That's osmosis. That Audrey 2's in my brain or whatever.
Wow! That's snapping two things
little plant, from it. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you'll like it.
I think I will.
Again. This is your best Donnie Appreciation Month to date.
We'll see. Time will tell.
All right, cuties. We will talk to you later. Love you like a sister.
Thank you for listening to I Am the Cute One. If you want more, head to patreon.com/IAmTheCuteOne for uncut, unedited, and unhinged video and audio footage of current episodes, as well as even more bonus content.
And if you like what you heard, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to our show. And to help us grow this community of chaotic cuties, share an episode with a friend you think would pass the vibe check.
And to see the madness, check out our YouTube channel, where video footage from all current episodes are posted weekly.
You can follow me at Real Donnie Wood on Instagram and all other social media platforms.
And if you want more of my personal brand of chaos, check me out at Oh No Chels.
Talk to you later. Love you like a sister.